Thank you so much for pointing us to Christ, Allison. Pastor Tom and Connie Townsend have invested their lives in the gospel ministry, and it was to our pleasure as a church family that they invested some of those years here with us. Pastor Tom Townsend as the senior pastor here, and a time of growth and blessing of the Lord, and Anniversary Sunday is an appropriate time not only to look back and to recount how God has been faithful over the years, but to also assess where we are and to press forward. And I would encourage you tonight to come again. We'll be at the Lord's table, and we'll rehearse again. I'd love you to come thinking even this afternoon about God's blessing through this church family through the years, and let's share that together and celebrate in that way together tonight at the 6 o'clock service. Pastor Tom and Connie are here, and unfortunately aren't going to have Jennifer and Jill and Joshua, but I suppose we'll hear a little bit of the history there of the family. And we surely would want you to fill us in, if you would, in the Lord's blessing and your course of ministry through the years. It's been some time now, 26 years or so, since you were last here as far as being the pastor of the church. But we have that camaraderie through the years. And thank you for reserving this special Sunday for us to come back and be a blessing here. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Tom Townsend and Connie. Connie, wave to us so we know where you are there in the auditorium today, and we look forward to not only this service, but the second service as well. Pastor Townsend.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it so much.
It is a joy to be with you today and to share in your lives. Whoops. We'll get there in a minute. That's the clan. When we left here, Jill was a ninth grader, Jennifer was a fifth grader, and Josh was in kindergarten. And now all of them are married and have given to us grandkids. We love that. And we just have a great time together. They live in the Rochester area, about 2 hours from us, and so we get over there often. Connie gets over there more than I do. There seems to be some kind of magnet that just pulls her that direction. And I'm not sure if that's because she wants to leave me or she wants to go see the kids and grandkids. As Pastor Hickson said, right now we are working through an interesting time in our lives, trying to figure out how to care for parents. My dad will be 90 the end of May. My mom will be 92. They still live in their own home in Indianapolis, Indiana. Connie's mom will be 88 the end of May. Actually, her birth date and my dad's birth date are the same, May 31st. Connie's mom is struggling a bit more than my parents. In fact, Connie's mom is with us right now on a temporary basis. You notice I said temporary basis. She's been with us for a couple of weeks now. I told somebody this past week that since my mother-in-law's been in my home, I've spent more time in the office. Our daughter Jill is staying with Nanny. That's what we call her. Actually, I use the word goat at the end of that name. And we just have a great time. But that's the family, and we are just so thankful for what God has done. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, will you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As I looked at the history of Calvary Baptist Church Sandusky, I was reminded of this building. How many of you went to church in this building down on Columbus Ave? Can I see your hands? All right, a number of you. When I got to town, it was interesting to me that Townsend Avenue ran right into this church. And the church was organized in 1931. Pastor Ralph Stoll. First service was on Columbus Avenue in November 30th, 1933. And then moved out to Perkins Avenue, Calvary Baptist Church, in 1970. I opened the door this morning and the cornerstone's still there. Exalting Christ in all things. Now, I didn't know how that was going to show up on the screen, so I enhanced it just a bit. because I think it's important for us to understand what the foundation of this body of believers was. Organized in 1933 because of some doctrinal concerns. Came out of a convention that did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. And because of that, Dr. Stoll brought a group of believers who had the understanding that God's Word was God's Word, and it was settling for their lives and directing to their lives. And as they came out of that convention, that foundation was established, exalting Christ in all things. What a cornerstone. What a cornerstone for our lives. What a foundation. And that's the foundation that still exists today. But you know, the foundation is not just bricks and mortar. This came off your website. I don't know how many of you have read that. It says, of course, the measure of a ministry is not seen primarily in brick and mortar. It is in the lives of people who have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. The distinguishing mark of this community of believers down through the years has been their devotion to the truth of the Word of God and their sincere desire to live it out in their lives. Amen? Amen. Only God, by His supernatural power, can redeem sinners and reclaim their lives for Himself. Praise the Lord for His marvelous grace. Exalting Christ in all things, and not just in bricks and mortar, but in the supernatural power of God working in our lives through His marvelous grace, God giving to us what none of us deserve. I appreciated Pastor Hickson this morning after we got set up. We went back to his study and chatted just a bit and prayed. And as we chatted just a bit, we chatted about what God is doing here in Sandusky. And God's doing a great work. I saw Tom Fenton this morning, and as we chatted, he said, well, not much has changed. We've all changed. I am now, as of 2017, a genuine holder of a Medicare card. Huh? I've arrived! And yet, even though you and I have changed, God is still the same. And our purpose is still the same. And our purpose is to exalt Christ in everything. Now, knowing it and doing it are two different things, right? Understanding what the cornerstone says is one thing, but being able to live it out in our lives is something else. And so this morning we want to look into this text, and we want to discover how God wants us to exalt Him in and through our lives. And if we will do that in and through our lives, we will then do it through this ministry, which is His ministry called Calvary Baptist Church. Exalting Christ in all things. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm kind of an acrostic guy. So you can just put exalt down the left-hand side of your paper. And I want to share with you these truths that I trust will be an encouragement to you. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Let me begin with verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Now, I just want to stop right there and put a parenthesis there. I'm out of the English Standard Version. I should have asked Pastor Hickson which translation you use. ESV? Perfect. Good. All right. I know some use the NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version. Some of you are from 1611 and use the King James. All right, verse 23. All things are lawful to me. Scripture tells us that in our lives we are to edify in all things. Scripture tells us that I can do anything I want to do, but not everything is helpful. I can do everything I want to do, but not everything builds up my life or the body of Christ. You may remember a parable which Jesus taught. The wise men and the foolish men. Remember that little song? The wise man built his house. Don, can you do the percussion for that, please? Right? The wise man built. Same word. Edify. Build up. Strengthen. Establish. And it is so important in your life and my life that we have a purpose. And that purpose is not only to enjoy life. God has given to us all things to enjoy. We'll see that in just a minute. But that purpose is to edify, to build us up, and to build up the body of Christ for the honor and glory of the kingdom of God. We have a little phrase that we use around Calvary Baptist Church, Battle Creek, and it's this: challenged and changed and conformed to the character of Christ. That's building up our lives. Now, do you remember that parable, Jesus? I mentioned it. Wise man built his house upon the rock, right? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The word for foolish in that parable is the word from which we get our word moron. The moron built his life upon the sand. Now, please do not take offense. But it is interesting to view the community of Christ and see how many morons there are. And by that I mean individuals that are trying to build their lives on anything but Jesus Christ and the Word of God. You and I need to build up our lives. During the opportunity God gave me to serve here in Sandusky, we put up a Family Life Center. And I understand you're still having the same problem out there that we had. Water in the ducts. And that's not ducks on the water. Now, I understand that you finally come to a solution. After how many years? We're not going to count those. I said something at our deacons meeting not too long ago. I said, you know, we spend a whole lot of time talking about something that we're not getting a solution to. But that particular building was built above the water table. And the water comes in, and it's such a wonderful sauna out there in the wintertime. I mean, you can sit out there and just enjoy life. But it's not very helpful. We need to exalt Jesus Christ. And the first way we do that is build up our lives and build up the body and edify one another. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I have a friend who says, Tom, and you've probably already figured out this morning, I many times say something before it's filtered. It's interesting to watch my wife during sermons. After 45 years, it'll be 45 years we've been married in May. After 45 years, she almost could preach the sermon for me. But we don't believe in women preachers. Amen! See, that was one of those unfiltered things. Scripture says, all things are lawful. But just because I can doesn't mean I should. And many times within the body of Christ, we ask, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Why shouldn't I? That's not the question. The question is, why should I? In order to build up the body of Christ. So the next time you're faced with a dilemma, don't ask yourself, why can't I or why shouldn't I? Ask yourself, how does this build up the body of Christ? All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things edify, build up. Well, not only are we to exalt Christ, we are to excel for others. Now, this is where my acrostic kind of, you got to be imaginative sometimes when you're doing acrostics. We have to excel for others. Look with me at verse 24, will you please? Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Now, this is cross-counter-cultural. Back in 1933, it was counter-cultural to move away from those who did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. And there was a great risk that took place. Dr. Stoll didn't have a clue how God was going to use his stand. And he could have been standing all by his lonesome. Many times our culture says, how do I feel about it? What do I think? What do I want? What makes me happy? And yet the Scripture says that we are not to seek our own good, but to seek the good of neighbors. Brad Pitt was once interviewed. He has it all. And he said this, once you get everything, then you are just left with yourself. Think about that, will you please? Once you get everything, then you're just left with yourself. A lot of times in Battle Creek, we'll talk about GC squared. And we're talking about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We'll talk about the Great Commission a little bit later, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Great Commandment is in Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? I intend to pick from. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Boy, that's a truth. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the first four commandments are summed up in love the Lord your God. The last six commandments are summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and turn over to Philippians chapter 2, will you please? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is the great kenosis passage. Passage where we discover how Jesus Christ emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But I want to begin with verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about how Christ emptied himself. You see, folks, it's not about me. And frankly, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and those lives that we can impact for his honor and his glory. Remember that little acrostic that we learned as kids? You remember that? No. Well, let me teach you this acrostic, all right? Very simple. This is a formula that ought to help us in our lives. And it all starts with Jesus, others, and you. And if we are to have joy in our lives, that is the sequence that we must live out through our lives. Paul says, it's not about me. It's about impacting other people's lives for the honor and glory of God. And you and I, as believers, children of God, ought to excel in others like nobody else does. Why? Because we have experienced God's love. And God's love was not about himself. Holy, sovereign, creator of the universe, reached down to sinners. And Christ died for us. I received Christ as personal Savior as a little four-year-old. My dad was a pastor. Three brothers. Two brothers. There's three boys and a girl. Two brothers. Each have been in ministry and each are in a certain vocation of ministry right now. Sister. But as a four-year-old kid, I discovered two things. One, I was a sinner. And let me tell you, as a four-year-old, that was not difficult to discover. All I had to do was sit in a service, and that was in the day when the preacher would call you down for misbehaving. Everybody in that church knew my name because my dad occasionally used it from the platform. And they knew my name was Thomas Clarence. I knew I was a sinner. And then I discovered a wonderful truth, that Christ died for my sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And if I would believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I could be saved. Isn't it great? Yesterday I had the privilege of conducting a memorial service for a medical doctor, Filipino by birth, guy who had multiple medical degrees and multiple theological degrees. He just loved studying. That was his passion. And when I was sharing with him in his home on his hospice bed, he said, "Pastor, I want you to preach the greatest theological truth at my funeral." I said, "Dr. Phil, what's that?" He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He said, "Pastor, I want you to use this outline. God so loved, point number one, the world that he gave, that whosoever faith believeth in him should not perish, saved, but have everlasting life." Now, I don't know if he told me to use that outline because he didn't like the ones I used. But I didn't think too deep into that. I didn't think it was profitable. But you and I who have experienced God's love through his Son, Jesus Christ, ought to, more than anyone on planet Earth, be able to excel for others because we recognize what God has done for us. Story is told about a pastor who was preaching on this passage of Scripture. And at the end of the service, he had a time of testimony. He asked the congregation to share experiences of giving something up for the sake of someone else. That was the room that Sunday morning. And finally, a gentleman stood up and said that he did not drink or smoke around other Christians. Now, I am not advocating drinking and smoking. But can you identify anything you have given up for other Christians or for the cause of Christ? We talk about it. We just don't do it. Well, that's getting pretty convicting. Let's move on. Look with me at verse 25, please. "Eat whatever is sold in the market. without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In all things we are to glorify God. Now, Paul quotes the psalmist. And Paul reminds us that what we have before us here is the recognition that God has given to us everything. Remember Peter? He had a vision. He was hungry. And a sheet came down in front of him with unclean food. He was kosher. And he heard this voice, which he knew as the Lord's, and it said, Peter, rise and eat. He said, oh, not me, Lord. Not me. That's unclean stuff. That's bad for your health. And the voice said, Peter, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. And the rest of the story is that led to the evangelization of the Gentiles. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In the shorter catechism, there is a question that is asked, what is the chief end of man? I sometimes wish that we Baptists had catechisms because it would teach us theological truth. And maybe we have gone too far away from liturgy. This is a sermon for another time. And we lose some things. But could you answer that question? What is the chief end of man? If you came from a denomination that had a catechism, you would know that the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy his presence forever. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, Paul in context talks about doing something with meat sold in the market. Now, he's already addressed this back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So it must have been an issue in Corinth. And what was taking place is that idol worshipers were offering sacrifices of meat to idols. Now, let me tell you what. All idols are skinny because they don't eat anything. And so what would happen is that meat, that produce, those goods, would be taken into the market and sold as less expensive food. And if you wanted a deal, you didn't go to Aldi's, you went down to the meat market and you picked up your food because it was less expensive. But it may well have been offered to an idol. Paul is setting us up here because he's going to use this as an illustration. And the foundation of this whole setup is the earth is the Lord and all the fullness therein. It all belongs to God. Therefore, everything in our lives should bring glory to God. Now, we'll get that down in verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But the reality is that you and I need to have this as foundational. All things are to glorify God. Now, he's going to lead us into a discussion, and we're not going to get into a lot of it this morning, about license versus liberty. Whether or not I can or I should. And I really don't want to go that direction this morning. Because I believe that there is an underlying truth that is here. Verse 27. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. He's talking about going to dinner and sharing Christ. When was the last time you had an opportunity to eat with an unbeliever? We Baptists do a lot of good eating, don't we? In fact, we have a model at Calvary Baptist Church, till we eat again. Yesterday at the memorial service, we had a potluck. Boy, my pot didn't even need more luck. That was one of those unfiltered comments, too. But when was the last time you sat down with an unbeliever with the express purpose of sharing Jesus Christ with them? And Paul says, if an unbeliever invites you out, don't ask, don't tell. Don't worry about it. Because your purpose is to share Jesus Christ, not to judge what is put before you on the table. Remember one time when Rochester, new family visited our church and I had the opportunity of being in their home. Had a great visit, and the next day, the wife came in to pick up membership papers. Woohoo! It worked. She took those membership papers home, and at that time, there was a little phrase that was in our church covenant. Maybe it was in yours, maybe it is in yours. Where you do not partake of intoxicating beverages as a drink. Is that in your church covenant? No. Has it ever been, Donnie? I thought it was. Used to be in most. Well, it was in ours at that time. She came in the following morning, hot as a hen. And she said, Pastor, why didn't you tell me? Tell you what? She said, we had a wine rack right there in front of you when we were visiting, talking about the church. Why didn't you tell us we couldn't drink? I said, that wasn't my purpose. My whole purpose was to figure out whether you knew Jesus Christ as personal Savior or not. And frankly, I didn't care. When you're sitting down and sharing Christ, what's important is Christ, not the cuisine. And I ask you again, when was the last time you sat down with an unsaved person in order to share Christ with them? When I was in Sandusky, I was introduced to the Rotary Club. Rick Cathy, remember that name, Don? An attorney in town took me to a Rotary meeting. And I discovered that Rotarians are leaders and businessmen of the community. I joined the club. In fact, have been a Rotarian ever since. You know why I do that? Because every Monday in Battle Creek, I sit down with unsaved men and women. And my express purpose is to live out Jesus Christ, and if I have an opportunity, to share Jesus Christ with them. In Rochester, one of our Rotarian friends was in the hospital. His name was Ron Lewis. And Ron was Mr. Rochester. I mean, he'd been there from the beginning. Our Rotary meetings there were Tuesday, and after Rotary, I went up to see Ron, and I introduced myself as Tom Townsend, Rotarian of Ron, and in the course of things, they said, well, what do you do? I told them, and they found out I was a pastor. The next day was Ash Wednesday. Ron took a turn for the worse. They called me at Ash Wednesday and said, Pastor, would you come up and give Ron last rites? Well, that told me what denomination Ron went to. I said, well, why don't you have his priest come up? He said, well, the priest said he's too busy today because it's Ash Wednesday. He said, I'll be right up. The short story of that is, Ron passed away. And because I was willing to go up, they asked me to do the memorial service. Happened to be the following Tuesday. And the Rotary Club, because of Ron's position in the community, decided to cancel the club and have everybody go to his memorial service as the club meeting. Didn't matter, Ron was Catholic. By the way, I didn't do last rites. I told him that in our tradition, We trust a God who loved us so much to send his son Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And that we could depend upon that God to meet all of our needs because his son was the resurrection and the life. And if Ron understood that, then he could have the assurance of a home in heaven. Now, I don't know if Ron ever accepted Christ or not. But at those kinds of memorial services, what I do is I think about the rich man and Lazarus. Remember what the rich man told Abraham? Send Lazarus back and tell him. And so I could stand in front of Ron's casket and I could say with great assurance, Ron would have me tell you this. And I knew wherever Ron was, he wanted me to tell him that. But not only are we to share Christ, verse 28, but if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. We don't want to be a stumbling block. And as I said, we're not going to go back to 1 Corinthians 8. But if you want more detail on 1 Corinthians 8 that talks about the weaker brother and the stumbling blocks, read it this afternoon. You know, our actions do affect other people. You're aware of that, right? And you and I need to be careful that we don't put any hindrances in our lives that would cause people to shy away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was in seminary, a seminary professor gave me great advice. He said, class, there are two things that you need to stay away from when you get in the ministry. Finances and females. That was great advice. At the memorial service, there were memorial contributions that were given. My secretary said, Pastor, would you put these in my desk drawer so that I can record them and send out letters? I said to the chairman of the deacons, Randy, come help me with this. Let's pick them up together and we'll take them. It ain't worth it, folks. It just ain't worth it. And I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. She'll be happy to tell you. But I don't want to be a stumbling block. And if somebody says this is a problem, okay, it's a problem. And lastly, for the sake of the gospel, I need you to jump down to verse 33. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. See, folks, it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the gospel. I need to hurry. If we're going to exalt Christ, we can live in great liberty, but not at the expense of others. Verse 29, I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? We believe as Baptists in individual soul liberty. And that's all part of our progressive sanctification. But what it means is this, that when you and I stand before God, each of us individually are going to have to give an account to God. I don't have to give an account for you, and you don't have to give an account for me, and you can be thankful you don't have to give an account for me. By the way, I am amazed at what people will not do in front of friends and family members that they will do in front of a holy God. Just chew on that for a minute. So what governs our conscience? His word. The Spirit's leadership in our lives, our relationship with each other. As you are well aware, Billy Graham passed away a week, 10 days ago. There was a time, and maybe some of you will remember that, when evangelical fundamentals pushed away from Billy Graham. My dad was one of them. And he said, Tom, he said, you know, Billy Graham invited everybody and their brother to those crusades, and whatever denomination they checked on that decision card, that's where the decision card went, and they followed up, and it just wasn't right. Well, you know what? Billy Graham was all about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he didn't care. And his liberty caused many to come to know Christ as personal Savior. It's not unusual for someone to come to me and say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to be in church on Sunday, and I understand a number of folks are gone today. I don't know if they checked in with you or not. But my response to them is this. If it's okay with God, whoops, I forgot about that. If it's okay with God, then it's okay with me. You don't have to check in with me, but you do have to check in with God. Exalting Him. And exalting Him with thanksgiving, to God be the glory. Again, verse 30. If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to do all to the glory of God. That's how you exalt Jesus Christ. Exalting Christ in all things. That's the cornerstone of Calvary Baptist Church and ministry. And you and I need to understand the purpose to which we've been called for His honor and His glory. Amen? You know the hymn, don't you? So whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews, Greeks, church, God. Please everything, so that all things may be saved. To God be the glory, great things. Loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atoned for sin, and opened the life gate. Stand with me, will you please? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And give Him glory. Great things He hath done.
Amen. That is what we're about right there. Thank you, Pastor Townsend, and we'd love to help you in your response to God's Word today. If we could answer a question or point out a passage or discuss with you your response to this great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just linger after the service. Write it out on that card that you put your name on at the very beginning. Turn that in. We'd love to chat in the coming days, and love to follow through with how the Lord's working in and among all of us today in this. This is a great anniversary Sunday, and Pastor Townsend, Connie, coming today has been a great part of a celebration today. Thank you so much for that. Let me give you two, just a moment. Maybe you'd like to slip out right here in the use the middle aisle right here and be in the lobby as folks make our way now into Sunday school. And maybe have an opportunity to chat and renew acquaintance in that way. And let me just say, we praise the Lord for these 87 years together. And having the Townsends here helps us in that celebration in a great way. We appreciate that. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed to our Sunday school classes and the second service for today. And then let me just mention that tonight again at 6 o'clock, we'd love to continue to praise the Lord together. Come ready to share of the Lord's blessing and use of God's work here at Calvary Baptist Church in your life and your family. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. I thank you for this exhortation from your word. We want to exalt you in all we do. And I pray that it would be in such a way that we'd share the gospel, that the joy of the Lord would truly be our strength, and that we would be among those who live steadily and faithfully with fidelity in our lives for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.